Nice to have you here today. Glad to have you worshiping the Lord together. So welcome to our service. And just a reminder that between our two services, we have these classes that take place. There's something for all ages. I've continued with the intro to Homewood class this morning. And two new things, just on an update, the Journeys class has begun today, this study called Anxious for Nothing, Finding Calm in a Chaotic World. They're using Max Licata's stuff based on Philippians chapter 4. And then the Marriage and Family Adult Bible Fellowship class, they started this morning as well. First room down the bottom of the Family Life Center, that's where that one's at. So this week is the National Day of Prayer on Thursday, and we encourage people to go to your local courthouse and pray during that time. There are some guides during at both entrances where you can know how to pray for people in government positions. Just for those of you know, the one from Moline is going to meet at Millennial Park. And so go down this road beyond Black Hawk College on the left-hand side. You'll find Millennial Park there for that time. Our Fellowship Friday group is meeting this Friday. They gather from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. the first Friday of each month. They enjoy games together. They enjoy the time of fellowship, and there's a light luncheon as well. So it's a great opportunity to be with others. Our care team is also starting a new ministry, which we're calling Servants in Action. And this is hopefully going to meet up with both men and women who want to just practically help people in need in our congregation, maybe mowing a lawn, maybe fixing something simple that needs fixed, or providing a ride somewhere. And so if you're interested in that, again, by both entrances, you'll see the Servants in Action sign, and you can add your name to that list. Our women's ministry team is excited to offer our ladies' luncheon coming Saturday, May 15th from 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Jenny Farrell is going to be the speaker. She's a very gifted storyteller, so you want to be here and just enjoy that time together. Food's provided, but you need to sign up. So on your way out today, visit one of those tables and make sure your name is added to that list. Our call to worship is from Psalm 91. It's an interesting combination. It starts by talking about the righteous person trusting in the Lord, and then it goes on to describe the kind of protection that that person experiences. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we can be in that camp of those who are saying, you're our refuge, you're our fortress, you are our God in whom we trust. And we pray now that as we sing, we can forget about those things that are keeping us from focusing on what we're singing about, and help us also to listen attentively and eagerly with what you have for us. In the name of Jesus, your Son, we pray. Amen.
Let's stand together and worship. The power of darkness, sin and darkness. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth? Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Jesus, breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You lay your life, that I would be saved. sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of Glory, the King of Glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of Glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You lay down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You lay down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
All right, guys, this next song is a new one, and as a friend of mine, he's a pastor down in Missouri I went to college with, he would always tell his congregation, this is a new song, but every single song that you've ever heard and that you really, really like was also a new song at one point. I know that's really lame, that's why everyone's like, oh, well, I'm not laughing at that. It is a really lame statement, but it's true. And so this song is called Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me. And I want to read Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. As many of you guys know, Tom Bassett has been diagnosed with cancer. And when we found out, Tom's response to this news was very encouraging and uplifting, and it just speaks volumes to this song. His response was, "I am looking forward to living out my faith," and that really humbled me because I'm thinking of all the things that I would say. If I got cancer, the first thing would probably not be, I'm just excited to live out my faith. I'm looking forward to it. It's not us. I don't feel that if Tom was left to himself that he could come to that mindset. but it's through Christ who lives in him. So let that be an encouragement as we sing through this song. If you don't know it, let's just meditate. And if not, join us this morning as we prepare to hear God's word.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. Is I hope, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to him. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken. For by my side, the Savior, he will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing. For in my need, his power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day, I know he will renew me, until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the
in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Amen. You may be seated.
A wonderful truth, isn't it? Our spotlight today is on Brian and Michelle Kirik. They serve the Lord with Gospel for Asia. And in a recent update, they want us praying for Michelle. She does a lot of the editing stuff, including their magazine, and that's keeping people informed on what's happening on the mission field. And so that's important that she can do that well and be effective in challenging, encouraging people. Brian seems to be a jack of all trades. He's involved in all kinds of things, including this month an audit of their books. And sometimes he's in Asia encouraging pastors and local leaders and just a lot of fronts that Brian is involved in. So we want to pray for them and the work that's happening in Asia, where there are some very, very challenging experiences with our brothers and sisters in that area of the world. I'd like to use the Lord's Prayer today to guide our congregational prayer together. I'll have it on the screen with the New Living Translation version so we can be praying the same words. I don't like to rush through this prayer, so let's pray slowly, just sort of praying a statement and pausing, and then I'll move us on at that point, being concerned about what the Lord Jesus wants us concerned about. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. Yeah, please pray it with me. May your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins, as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't lead us yielding to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, thank you that you hear us. Help Brian and Michelle. I pray that she can be very effective as an editor of their magazine and other publishing, that would be used to get people involved in fulfilling the Great Commission. We pray also that Brian can really be on top of that audit to keep that properly balanced and above reproach as an organization. May he be a great encouragement to those who need it, and even give them both opportunities to witness to others, help them to continue to grow in their marriage as well. Father, now be with my mouth, be with our ears, use Barb, use others to be spokesmen by your grace, true to your word. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. I was riding on the bus during second grade, and one of my friends who was in third grade said, "Mark, tell your teacher that 12 times 12 is 144. She'll be so impressed with your smarts that she'll move you up to the third grade and you can be with me." So I went to my teacher that day and said, "Hey, 12 times 12 is 144. Well, she wasn't very impressed and kept me in second grade. But from that day, I've always known 12 times 12 is 144. Well, it didn't do much special things for me, but that number, 144,000. Now, that's a key statement in Revelation chapter 7. There we're going to encounter that 12 times 12, 144,000. People go all kinds of directions with this passage. What's this all about? And what's special about this passage for us today? Well, let's delve into this. Now, remember the context. Chapter 6, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb, has taken this scroll that's been sealed in the hand of the one who is sitting on the throne, the Father on the right hand, right there in his right hand holding this scroll. Jesus takes that, the Lamb takes it, begins to break it one seal after another so we can get to the scroll. Well, by the time you get to the end of chapter 6, six seals have been broken, so we're moving into chapter 7. Okay, he's about to break that seventh seal, and then we're going to see what's inside that scroll. That's not what happens. It's a dramatic interlude that happens in chapter 7 of Revelation. But it's important because this interlude helps us understand what's going on more so than just looking at the seals and the aftermath of what's coming. And definitely chapter 7 answers that question at the end of chapter 6. The one sitting on the throne and the Lamb, the wrath has come. The day of their wrath has come. And who is able to stand? So chapter 7 answers that question for us. So as we look at this interlude, we're going to see four different parts for this interlude, and trust that we're going to see the significance of this both then and now. Part one of the interlude, first three verses, judgment is delayed. So we're expecting the judgment of God, the wrath of God on earth. No, judgment is delayed. Verse one, after this, it's the Apostle John, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth so that no wind would blow on the earth or on the sea or on any tree. So here you got these four angels all around the earth, all parts of the compass, if you will, and they are ready to do big-time destruction on earth. They are going to be the means of bringing about the wrath of God on earth, and much harm and judgment is about to take place. That's why the mention of the earth, the sea, the trees, all being harmed by these judgments which are coming. And then we see another angel coming from the east in verse 2 and 3. So another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, holding the seal of the living God. He called out with a loud voice. A lot of loud voices in Revelation, aren't there? And here's this loud voice saying to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth or the sea, or the trees until we have sealed the bondservants of our God on their foreheads. So don't do it yet. Now, in those days, they would have this seal, which would commonly be a stone ring that their person might wear on his finger or around his neck, and then it would be rolled in wax or clay, leaving an impression, which is basically saying, this is mine, it's genuine, it's really mine. I'm going to protect it because it is mine, and he's taking ownership for this as well, and so that's being communicated. And in this case, we see this communication of a seal. Notice the references to the bondservants, implying that at this point, these people are already gods. They already know God. They already serve God. It's now that they are being sealed with this ownership and protection by God for special purposes. Now, one of the exciting things for all Christians is when you came to faith in Jesus Christ, at that point, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit. This is a different seal, but that happens for every Christian. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. God saying, I own you, you're mine, I'll protect you, and I'm going to watch over you. That's why in chapter 4, verse 30 of Ephesians, he's saying, hey, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That's for all Christians. I suggest this seal is just for the bondservants who are being referred to here in the end times where they are going to have this seal of protection, very much like the experience that happened in Ezekiel chapter 9. In Ezekiel chapter 9, there are these executioners that are sent throughout the city of Jerusalem. And what they are told to do before they execute people is put a mark on the forehead of all the people who are sighing and groaning over the abominations of Israel. They are showing by that response, sighing and groaning, where they're at spiritually, put a mark on their foreheads. And then the executioners go throughout the city of Jerusalem, killing everyone who doesn't have that mark on their forehead. And similar here, this mark is given. I doubt if this is going to be a visible thing. It's not going to be something where you can look at it with the naked human eye and say, oh, that person has the seal of God on their foreheads. I suggest, though, that in the spiritual realm, it will be seen. Angels, demons, God, everyone on God's side, in the spiritual realm, they will be able to look and say, that one has this seal on their forehead. They are God's. They are to be protected no matter how bad things get. And so this angel was saying, hold back in the destruction on the earth with the sea, with the trees and everything else, with these wrath of God judgments. Hold back until all these people are sealed. And again, the contrast is going to be big time with Revelation chapter 13. We'll look at that in more detail when we get there. But there is a mark of the beast, which is given where you are going to have to receive this either on your forehead or on your right hand, showing that you are showing your allegiance to the Antichrist. And what a contrast that there's this mark that God has on these 144,000 marked as his own, and he is going to protect them, and nothing will stop God's protection from taking place. Wow. We move into the second part of this interlude in verses 4 to 8, and here we've got an emphasis on 144,000 are sealed. Verse 4 begins in this part of the interlude. I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. Honestly, I don't know how you can let this passage speak for itself and not be convinced these are Israelites. These are Jews. And there's reference to these 12 tribes of Israel, and 12,000 from each of these tribes will have this mark on their forehead, which will be seen in the spiritual realm, and they will be protected. They will be God's, and they will be protected. I'm not sure what else John could do to make it clear these will be Israelites from 12 different tribes of Israel because of the elaborate details. Notice in verse 5, from the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Okay, we expect that. That's the tribe of the Lord Jesus, the most prominent tribe of Israel. And so there'll be 12,000 that will be sealed. What's implied here is these 12,000, they will know the Lord. They will be serving the Lord. And God will protect them. He will protect them from the judgments which are coming on earth, and he will protect them at least for a time from being killed for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what's prominent here. Notice in verse 8, you got this reference to Joseph from the tribe of Joseph. Well, Joseph was the father of Ephraim and Manasseh. That was two tribes of Israel. Since already verse 6 mentions Manasseh, it seems like the reference of Joseph here is Ephraim, covering those two tribes and including them in the 12 tribes. And then one that's missing is Dan. Why is Dan not mentioned? Honestly, I'm not sure. There are some good educated guesses. Some people believe because the Antichrist is going to be Jewish, and he is going to come from the tribe of Dan. That's why some people suggest maybe that's why that tribe doesn't have a 12,000 sealed. Others suggest the early association of idolatry with the tribe of Dan stands out, like Judges chapter 18, blatant idolatry taking place. And then in 1 Kings, when those two golden calves were established, in 1 Kings 12, 29, one of them was in the territory of Dan. And so some suggest because of the association of that tribe with idolatry, they're not included. Others suggest it's just to have the number 12, that it would be 12 tribes in that sense of completion that God's going to protect. Now, this certainly doesn't mean that there won't be other people from those tribes, Israelites who will believe in the Lord Jesus. In addition to these, there will be others, but they'll be martyred. These will be protected by God, and he will have this seal of protection from the judgments that he is sending, and also, for a time at least, from the Antichrist trying to kill them for being loyal to the Lamb. The idea here follows out of the book of Exodus. You remember when the Israelites were being delivered from the Egyptian bondage? with those judgments that were taking place in Egypt, you see, those clear references were the people of Israel and Goshen, they weren't harmed at all by those plagues. Egypt, it was severe harm and judgment, but not very far away. The Israelites, they're protected through that judgment that's taking place. And so you've got that here, and when we get into chapter 9, you'll see more detail. Like in verse 4, you've got these locusts. They're going to plague the earth, and they've got a scorpion-like bite. They're only supposed to go after those who don't have God's mark on their forehead. Everyone else, they're going to go after. But God's own, these 144,000, they will be protected through this whole time. So we get this feeling of security through these judgments of God as the wrath of God is poured out on people who don't have God's mark of ownership on their forehead, and God protecting and keeping these 144,000. You also get the impression they will also be kept from being martyred, put to death for their faith in Jesus Christ. And then we got a debate, and as we move on, we'll see which fits best. Will that be for the whole seven-year time period? Will that be just for the first 3.5 years of that seven-year time period? Or will it be the last 3.5 years of that seven-year time period that they will be protected from being martyred for their faith in Jesus? Here's the point that's so powerful. God is able to protect his own people, no matter how vulnerable they are. Right now, you might feel pretty vulnerable. You might feel pretty weak with what's going on. If in this day of terrible evil, he is able to protect and keep 12,000 people from 12 different tribes of Israel, 144,000 protected from all of the chaos and evil that's so rampant on earth, certainly he can keep you in your vulnerable position right now. He can keep you from that panic mode that you're tempted to go into right now. There's the story of a child who was terrified of going to church. And he was talking to his mom, and his mom said, "Why are you afraid of going to the church?" And he said, "Because the pastor referred to the zeal." And she said, "What in the world is that all about?" Well, in those days, they only had the King James Bible to go from in terms of reading the King James Bible. And the pastor, in a service, quoted John chapter 2, verse 17, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." And here's this child terrified, the zeal, there's some monster in our church that's going to come and eat me up. Now, we can laugh at that kind of preoccupation, but what's bothering you right now, isn't it similar? Where you have let fear give way to fear, and you're in a panic mode, thinking, "I'm insecure, I'm vulnerable, I can't handle this." And you've forgotten. If in that day God is going to protect these 144,000 to accomplish the purposes he has for them, don't you think he can take care of your vulnerable position right now? Let's move on to the next part of this interlude. In verses 9 to 12, we have this great multitude in heaven. "After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all the tribes, peoples, and languages, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, palm branches were in their hands." And so now he's looking, and there's this great multitude, countless people who are there. Notice the reference, the allusion here to chapter 5, verse 9, where the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, purchased people from every tribe, people, tongue, and nation. Who's present now? People from all of those locations all over the earth are present offering praise to God. They've got white robes on. Remember, that's the garments of heaven, righteousness and purity. Remember last week we were looking at that when the fifth seal was broken in chapter 6, verse 11, those souls under the altar crying out to God, "When will you avenge our blood which was shed by those wicked people on earth?" What does God do to comfort them? A white robe is given to them. What are they experiencing? Dressed in white robes, purity, God's righteousness, and dressed in that way with Christ giving us his righteousness. And there they are in heavenly enjoyment. Palm branches, commonly used at the different feasts of Israel in worship, where they would use palm branches at the Passover, or the Feast of Tabernacles, as they would acknowledge and worship the Lord using palm branches, fully engaged, no longer thinking about how awful it was, what happened on earth, including the way they were put to death for their faithfulness to Jesus Christ. Now they're just caught up in the moment with the white robes, with the palm branches, fully engaged in worship. And then they're crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God." The only way to heaven is the one who acknowledged that salvation belongs to God. It's not from my human effort. It's not from your human effort. It belongs to God through faith in Jesus Christ. And here they are praising him for that. And then they say, the salvation comes from the one who sits on the throne, the Lord God Almighty, the Father, and to the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, and acknowledging they are the source of salvation and giving praise to him. You know what's exciting also? The Great Commission has been fulfilled. As Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, the gospel will go out to all nations, and then the end will come. All nations are represented here in this heavenly worship that's taking place. Follow the logic. 144,000 Jews, Israelites from different tribes, are sealed and protected. What were they doing? Taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. Who's instrumental? Now, of course, in this day and age, as followers of the Lord, you and I want to do everything we can to share the gospel with other people all over the earth, so they can believe and be part of the wonders of being part of God's people. But in the end times, these groups are going to be sealed from these 12 tribes of Israel, and they are the ones going to be protected. Now go out with the message, and God will protect them no matter what opposition takes place. As long as he has his protection on them, they will be effective in just going about the business of getting the gospel. And the representatives from all nations are, because of efforts on their part and others loyal to the Lord, to get the message out. And thus they're there. Folks, we could do that right now. If that's going to happen in the end, what about right now? Could there be someone that you rub shoulders with constantly, that you could tell them about Christ, so they too will be part of this multitude that will be present in white robes, palm branches, and worship, ascribing salvation to him alone? Well, the angels have to join into the action as well. Verse 11, all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders. That's one concentric circle of angels around the throne, and the four living creatures, another concentric circle of angels around the throne, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. How exciting and thrilling that's going to be with all of those angels and all of these people from all nations ascribing salvation and glory to God, and here they're saying, amen. Amen begins and ends this praise where you're saying, so it is, or so be it. And as the angels join in, they're saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might belong to our God forever and ever. Amen. At this point, nobody's bemoaning how hard it was to be faithful to the Lord. No one is thinking at all about how they were treated for their faithfulness to Jesus Christ. They are so caught up in the thrill of the moment that all of that is behind them. And I think we need to let this capture us as well. That's going to be a thrilling experience one day, to be part of that worship. That's what the Lamb has for us. How about if we practice a little bit more right now, where we put more into our worship right now, knowing that's what it will be like, and the thrill and excitement and all of the representations from all over the world who will be there, and all of the different expressions of praise and angels all around it too. Oh, that's going to be exciting. Let's do a little more practice right now as we prepare for that day that's coming. The last part of this interlude is in verses 30. Thanks for an amen that's just going along with the amen of this crowd right here in Revelation 7. An elder interprets something for John to help him his understanding in verses 13 to 17. One of the elders, okay, one of those group of 24 surrounding the throne, I'm suggesting they're angelic beings. One of the elders responded, saying to me, comes up to the Apostle John, "Those who are clothed in white robes, and who are they, and where have they come from?" Well, if an angel like this came up to me or came up to you and asked you a question like that, what are you going to say? Well, John's response is the best. "My Lord, you know." "I don't know. But you know, you tell me." And so this elder does interpret it. He goes on to say, "These are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation." The language here is interesting. They have come out or are coming out of the great tribulation. So all those that you see right there in this amazing worship, they have come out, and they're ones who are coming out of the great tribulation. Jesus has already told us what the great tribulation is. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21, this is following after the abomination of desolation. What that is it's a reference to an idol that will be set up in the temple of Jerusalem, which implies that the temple in Jerusalem will have to be rebuilt to fulfill these prophecies. And at the 3.5-year mark of a treaty that the Antichrist will make with the nation of Israel, he will set up an idol in the temple at Jerusalem, declaring himself to be God. And that is the abomination that causes desolation. And in verse 21, Jesus says, "For then there will be a great tribulation, such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will be again." The elder is saying to John, these are the ones who are coming out of this great tribulation. They are the ones who were faithful and loyal to Christ from different tribes of Israel who didn't have the seal of protection. Gentiles who will repent in that day and age as well, but then they will be put to death for their faith in Jesus Christ. They will not have that protective seal on them, but they will seal it with a testimony of death. But then they go into this kind of experience. They have overcome. They have come out of the great tribulation. Here's something interesting. They have washed their robes and made them clean, made them white, in the blood of the Lamb. Now, did your mom tell you or your wife tell you that when you're doing the wash, don't put dark colors with whites? Especially when you got bright new clothing, like bright reds and things like that, don't put them in the same wash with whites. Why? It's not going to be white anymore. It's going to fade. So here you've got something. If you have blood on something, it's really hard to get blood out of something. But here's an exception. What makes garments white? The blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here you are, here I am, sin and muck and filth from our sinfulness and our guilt before God. How do we make our garments white? We can't. We just admit that we're sinners. We admit that we're filthy and guilty in our sin. But then we acknowledge that Jesus Christ died on a cross for our sins. And by that faith, we are washing our robes in his blood and we become white. Hallelujah. And it's the only way to have white garments in God's presence. It's based on faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. All of these individuals have taken their filthy garments, their sin, their guilt. They believed in the Lamb who was slain for their sins. And their garments were transformed from filth to white garments. And that's what is done, that they've washed their robes in that way. If you're here today and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, you have filthy garments before him. And you need to come to Jesus. Believe he died for you. And wash your robes, your sinful garments, white through his blood. And so these are the ones that have experienced that. There they are. And for this reason, they're before the throne of God and they serve him day and night in his temple. Now, Jake had been really honest in recent weeks, saying, sometimes I struggle with wondering if heaven is going to be boring. And honestly, I admit that. I struggle with that at different times as well. Is the most excitement right here on earth, and that's just going to be boring? It's going to be downhill from there. Sometimes we experience that as we're growing up, don't we? When we're a child, we can't help imagine how it would be more exciting to be a teenager. Then when we're a teenager, we look back and say, well, being a child wasn't very much compared to being a teenager. Then as a teenager, you can't imagine how adulthood could have any kind of excitement to it. And then you become an adult and say, hey, it's pretty thrilling. It's better than being a teenager. And I think the same thing here right now in our limited exposure, we're thinking, I think maybe this is the best of my experience. Oh, no. Heaven is so much more thrilling and exciting than the best of what you can experience here on earth. And that's why you got these references like, they will serve him. Serving him is going to be so fulfilling. It's going to be so exciting. It's just going to be have so much of a fullness to it and so much satisfaction and productivity. That's what we can look forward to. And then he says he will spread his tabernacle over them. Old Testament allusions all over it. In the tabernacle, God showed his presence by that fire and the cloud and the fire, that his presence was over his people and protecting his people. And now he's saying, you got that constantly at this point. You're just in God's presence constantly. You don't even need protection. There you are in his presence, and he's over there with his glorious presence. Right there, you're living in that presence. And you see, when you realize this is what's coming for every child of God, life on earth right now doesn't seem as bad as it seems when you realize those things. So his presence, his glory just spread over them. They'll no longer hunger or thirst, nor will the sun beat down on them, implying that's how they were treated before they were put to death. They did hunger. Didn't have food. They starved. There was nothing to drink. They were cut off from that. They were given over to the scorching wind and the torture that goes with that and put to death in different places, trying to get them to deny Jesus Christ. That was their experience then, but long forgotten now. Notice the description, the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Look what happened there. He's the lamb that was sacrificed, and he becomes your shepherd. What a combination. He's the lamb that was the sacrifice, so your filthy garments could be washed in his blood and made white. And then when you believe in him, he becomes your shepherd, your good shepherd. And like a shepherd caring for his sheep, he guides them to where the good water sources are at. Again, we'll see a lot more of this in Revelation 21 and 22, where the springs of the water of life are there for our constant access and just enjoying with satisfaction all the fullness of God's presence and what he has for us. But here's that shepherd. I'm going to guide you to this spring and that spring and carefully caring for these people. And there's been a lot of pain. There's been a lot of tears with what they had to endure in many cases before they were put to death for their loyalty in the end times of what will be coming. But all of those tears will be wiped away from their eyes. Keep that in mind when you've got tears because of being loyal to Jesus right now. And I think it could apply to other tears that you're struggling with right now. There's coming that day when he's going to wipe away every tear from his people's eyes. And it's going to be so amazing that we will have forgotten why we were crying. And I think we've got to keep that in mind. Whatever we have endured for Christ will be more than worth it in that day. In fact, we will have forgotten how hard it was to go through those things for Christ, because we will be so caught up in the moment that will never end. And the Lamb's presence providing this kind of satisfaction and fullness as he guides and leads us, how exciting it's going to be. But that's what we need to do right now. We need to catch ourselves. when we're feeling overwhelmed by what's going on, and we need to realize what I am going through right now, I will look back one day and say it was more than worth it in light of what God has for me one day. In fact, at that point, I won't even be thinking about it. I will have forgotten about those things because I am so caught up with the now and what God has for his people. I think it's a good time to stop and take communion together. But as we think about communion, I want to point out that communion is for people who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's verse 14. And so if you haven't washed your robes in personal faith in Jesus Christ, don't take communion until you've done that. If you are a Christian and you've got some stains and filth that you haven't confessed to God, now would be the time to come back to the Lamb and say, cleanse me of this sin and stain that's in my life. I certainly want to be remembering you and the wonders of me being able to wash my robes, which I could not make white, but based on faith and your sacrifice for me, I made pure white in righteousness. We're going to sing a song just to worship the Lord and let this be call to preparation for worship as we think about the bread.
At this time, you can choose to stand with us or you can sit. I really just want to encourage you guys to make this time about you and God, your relationship. A lot of the times we'll stand together or we'll sit together, we'll do things together as a congregation, but at this time I want you guys to feel led to sit or stand or dance or on your knees, lay down, whatever you feel comfortable doing going before Christ.
In Mark's gospel, talking about Jesus setting up the Lord's Supper, it says, while they were eating, he took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them and said, take it, this is my body. Let's thank God for this. Lamb of God, thank you for your body that you gave for us so that we could wash our robes in your blood and be white, be righteous. You are worthy. Amen. Let's take the bread and remember him. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine again until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Let's pray thanksgiving again. Lord, thank you for this cup. Thank you, Lord, that this makes all the difference in the world, that with our faith in you, that's what matters. And we can be part of the thrill of serving you here and there, and we look forward to it. Until that day when we drink it in the kingdom, thank you for this opportunity to remember you. Through the Lamb, we pray. Amen.
Let's stand together. We're going to close this morning with a song of declaration. That was my bad. I'll try that again. One, two, three, four.
The world was made before you spoke it to be. You were the King of Kings. Yeah, you were. Yeah, you were. And now you're reigning still, enthroned above all things. Angels and saints cry out. We join them as we sing. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So I could praise your great and matchless name all my days, all my days. So let my whole life be a blazing offering, a life that shouts and sings the greatness of our King. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God.
To him.
Take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. Take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. We sing glory to God, glory to God, glory to God.
Take my life and let it be. As Pastor said this morning, nothing but the blood of Jesus can make our garments white. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash away our sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can strengthen our relationship with him. There's no good works that we can do. And I know that we know this, but sometimes, I don't know about you guys, but for myself, I'll catch myself throughout the week trying to do things for God rather than allow God to do things through me. I feel like, oh, well, I didn't read my Bible today, so I'll read my Bible for God longer tomorrow. Or, you know, this week I didn't really pay attention. Maybe on Thursday when we were practicing, my heart wasn't in it, so I'll make my heart extra in it on Sunday. And rather than having this mindset, we need to live as Christ is living in us. Just as Tom is excited to live out his faith, we need to be excited to live out our faith because it's Christ who's living in us. He's the one that is strengthening us in our relationship. He's the one that's doing the good works. And we just get to be a part of it. So I do want to encourage you this week. I don't know about you guys, but I write things down a lot. If I don't, I get in trouble by my wife because I forget to do the things I'm supposed to do. So I would encourage you, if you're a writer, write down this week, what am I doing to live for God? And rather than thinking about them being a checklist of things that you're doing for God, ask God in your prayer time this week, God, what is it that you want to do through me this week? What is it that you want me to say to someone else? What is it that you want to say through me? What is it that you want to do through me? So that we're keeping ourselves accountable, but at the same time, it's nothing but the blood. It's nothing but Christ who is living in us and working in us to do the good works that we're doing. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this opportunity that we have to gather here, Father. I thank you so much for the freedoms that we have to be able to do this, Father. But we know that if there is a day that we don't have these freedoms, God, we are boldly going to meet. We are boldly going to praise you, God. We're boldly going to share our faith with others, God. We're going to live with Christ living in us, Father. Not just living to do things for you, God. We just pray that this week, God, as we go about our week, that we are allowing you to live in us, Father. That we're constantly reminding ourselves that it's nothing but the blood that makes our garments white. In your name we pray. Amen.